I invite you at this time to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and our passage this morning will be verses 20 and 21. When God's word is read, it is the ministry of God's word, not just when it is preached. So let's ask God's blessing on the reading and the preaching of God's word now. Father, we do need your help, and we know you love to give it. Father, we ask for those things that you are ready to give with confidence before you. Speak to us, God. Lead us like a shepherd. Care for us. Tend to us today. May we see our blessing in you. May we see you in all that we do. And may you receive praise from us. Lord, use these weak means. A mere human like myself. The simplicity of preaching. Lord, use these things to transform us and show forth your power in these modes of weakness. We are glad to let you be our strength in these things and let you be our power. And we pray that you would show yourself strong to make us delight in you and walk in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. God's word. Boys and girls, I want your attention. I'm going to ask for your sustained attention this morning. I know I have it on most Sundays, but today this message is particularly for your ears. And when I say children this morning, I'm speaking of all of us in some respect, but certainly of those who are living with their parents or being provided for by their parents, those who are under their parents' roof and authority. Children, I want you to imagine with me the Apostle Paul. He's in prison, and he's writing a letter to a church of Jesus Christ, a church he's never met before. And as he writes this letter, he's thinking of everything he wants that church to understand about Jesus Christ. He wants them to understand what it is to believe in Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus wants of them, and how they can live before God in the power of Jesus Christ. And boys and girls, as Paul writes this letter in his prison chamber, he sends it with Tychicus and Onesimus, and they deliver this letter to the church in Colossae. And I want you to picture it with me right now. We don't know how big the church was. Maybe there were 500 believers, maybe 120, maybe 20. But we know this for sure. There were children in that church. There were probably mommies holding babies in that church. There were probably kids your age in that church, young adults, teenagers, toddlers, kids that are, well, in the equivalent of elementary school, whatever that would have looked like in Colossae. They were gathered, and we know that because the Apostle Paul actually says, "Now, children, I have something specific to say to you. I want you to understand this, boys and girls. Just as the boys and girls, the children of the church in Colossae, belonged in the worship service, belonged in the worship service when the sermon was being given, when the letter of Paul was being read, so you belong here now. You belong here now in the church of Jesus Christ. You belong here before God with his people, even if you haven't professed your faith in Christ. Even if when the elements are passed at the Lord's table, you're not partaking because you haven't professed your faith yet, yet you still belong here. Jesus has things to say to you every Lord's Day, things that will help you grow in your faith. Today, he has some particular things to say to you, and they will be a great blessing to you if you're here to hear them, and if the Lord gives you the grace to believe what is being said. Now, of course, this passage, brothers and sisters, is not a full explanation of how children are to live as children. It's not a full explanation about how parenthood is to be underdone or how fathers are to interact with their children. There are some very important things here, some key foundational things But it's not exhaustive, so don't expect that. Maybe one day we'll do a lengthy Sunday school class on parenting and childhood. But there's some very important things for us to learn today, and it's all centered around Jesus Christ. Just like we looked at last Lord's Day, we want to see marriage, we want to see Jesus at the center of our marriages, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to see him at the center of our relationships at home, parents and children. Now, this applies to everyone here, even if you're not a child under your parents' roof, even if you don't have children under your roof that you're actively parenting right now. The wisdom in this section of Scripture we can take with us in our prayer closets as we pray for parents and children. We can use it when God gives us opportunity to share counsel with others who are struggling in parenting, who are struggling as children. And there are probably any number of other ways that we can make use of this, even if we're not in these positions. So we all have reason to listen. But I want to start where Paul starts, brothers and sisters, and simply just work through what he says, first addressing children and then addressing parents and fathers in a more particular way. It is truly profound. We've already begun to look at boys and girls that Paul says children in this letter. He addresses you directly. And I want you to know that this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to you. Paul didn't have permission to just say anything he wanted. He had permission to say what Jesus Christ wanted him to say. He had permission to say what the Holy Spirit wanted him to say. And so he's speaking to you on behalf of God himself, telling you something you need to hear. A simple lesson to learn from this is that our children, and you children, are under the authority of your parents, of course. That's reinforced in this passage, but you need to know that you're also under the authority of the church. You're under the authority of the Word of God. It has something to say to you that you need to listen to. And that's a beautiful thing. The authority in the Church of Jesus Christ is one that reinforces the authority of parents, and the reverse should be true as well. The authority of parents should reinforce the authority of the Word of God and the ministry of the church. These are not competing authorities. They should never be, but are designed by God to work together in their own unique ways to help children walk in the way that God wants them to walk. So children, you do need to listen, not just to your parents. You need to listen to them, yes, but you need to listen to your apostle. And you need to listen to your pastor and your elders as they bring the teaching of the apostles to you as well. This means that the Bible is for you, even before you can read it yourself. It's for you. You belong to the church. Now, I could probably launch off into a tangent here about covenant theology and how this reinforces our idea that children are a part of the covenant community and therefore ought to be baptized and all sorts of things. And I was tempted to do that, but I think what I just said will suffice for this morning. But children, brothers and sisters, are seen as participating members of the Church of Jesus Christ. They're here to hear, they're here to believe, they're here to obey. And we pray for the day when our children profess their faith in Christ, when they have a clear and mature understanding of these things, and we see them come to the table as well as us. But, of course, children, the Apostle Paul doesn't just want you to know that he has a right to speak to you and that you have a right to be in the church. He actually has something particular to tell you. And it's maybe the thing you don't want to hear. I don't know. He wants you to know that you ought to obey your parents. What does it mean to obey? Well, if we were to break down the word itself in the original language that Paul used, Greek, it has two parts to it. It means listen under. Listen under your parents. Well, we could probably go too far trying to make the word mean that, but certainly the idea is that you are to be listening to your parents and doing what they tell you to do, because you're under their authority. That's a simple command for you. It's a command you can obey in your own home. You don't have to go do a pilgrimage somewhere to do this command. You don't have to give God $1 million. You don't have to do some mighty task out there in order to do what God's asking you to do. It's something you do right within your home, right in your backyard, right in your car. Obey your parents. It's very near to you to obey this one. But this tells us something about you, boys and girls, something that your parents know that you may have a difficult time believing about yourself, and you will struggle to believe this about yourself throughout your life. Something very important for you to know. I really want you to listen, boys and girls. You need parents to tell you what to do. That's obvious based on what Paul says here. You need parents in your life to tell you what to do. You need someone to instruct you. You need someone to guide you. You need someone to correct you. You need someone to help you. This is a gift of God to you, that you have parents to help you in this way. You need that help, and God is pleased to provide it for you through your parents. You are tempted, like all of us are tempted, to think that you can live life on your own. I can figure it out. We parents chuckle when we see our little ones act in ways that they think they can figure it on their own. Me do. And there's a healthy independence we want, of course, to bring our kids to at the appropriate time, but sometimes they want it a little too soon. And our children, imagine, they know what's best for them. You boys and girls, you have a tendency to believe that you know what's best for you. And God wants you to know you don't. And He's given you parents to help you. He's given you parents to help lead and guide you in the way that you should go. And this basically means you need humility to do what God wants you to do. You need the humility to embrace your need for parents. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a great example. He didn't need parents. He was God. Yet He came to earth and He lived under parents and He obeyed them. He lived in that relationship. He who was equal with God came down and took a humble form and lived as a child. If the God of the universe, boys and girls, can be humble enough to receive the help and instruction of parents, how much more do you need to do the same? The Lord is good to give us parents. And of course, boys and girls, you are to obey your parents in everything. Now, some of the things your parents tell you to do, you're really happy to do, right? I want you to help bring the brownies into the house from the car. Oh, I'll do that. Hey, we're going to take a vacation, and we're going to the grocery store, and I want you to pick out our cereal for vacation. Oh, I'll do that. Get on your play clothes. We're going to go outside. Oh, sure, I'll do that. There's all sorts of obedience that we love to do for various reasons. But I think we need to pay attention to the fact that when Paul says in everything, he's helping us realize, boys and girls, that you are obligated before God to not just do the easy stuff, but the difficult stuff. Do your chores. Do your homework. Eat your vegetables. Share your toys. Listen to your parents when they tell you it's time to turn the TV off, when it's time to put your phone away, when it's time to come inside from playing, when it's time to stop jumping on the couch. I don't know why that one came to my mind. All sorts of things the Lord tells us to do, that our parents tell us to do, forgive me, that we don't want to do, the Lord is calling us to obey our parents then, in everything. And He's telling us that our parents, when we're under their roofs, have a right to speak to us about all of the things that pertain to our lives. Do you feel like your parents have the right to check your text messages, you older students, children who have phones? Do you believe your parents have a right to see what you're doing online? God says they have a right to speak to you about everything. And maybe there's a different area of your life that you'd like to keep secret from the Lord, secret from your parents, maybe also from the Lord. The Lord wants you to benefit from the help of parents in every area of life. Every area of life. You need help everywhere as a child. You know what, boys and girls? Mature adults know that they still need help everywhere in life. They need it from God. They often need it from counsel from the elders and the pastor of the church. They need it from their spouse, their husband, or their wife. Certainly, children need help in everything. But the most important thing that you need to understand, boys and girls, is why God wants you to obey your parents. This is so important. And this is where the power of the gospel and the presence of Jesus Christ in your home should transform everything about the life you live at home. He tells us here, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Think with me what this means, boys and girls. You have the ability to please the Lord Jesus Christ by obeying your parents. The one who died for your sins, the one who sits in glory, you have the ability to please Him, to honor Him, to say thank you to Him in a way that He is pleased through the simplicity of obeying your parents. That's amazing. That's really amazing. And this is the reason Paul wants you to obey. Now, Paul could have said any number of other things, right? He could have said, children, boys and girls, children, obey your parents in everything, for this is what will make your parents happy. Parents in the room, please raise your hand if your children's obedience makes you happy. Come on. You see that, boys and girls? Your parents are actually pleased when you obey them. But that's not the reason that God wants you to think about for obeying your parents. Paul could have said, children, obey your parents in everything, for this will make you happy. It might be hard to believe, but maybe better put, obey your parents in everything, for this is what's going to lead to your success in your future life. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Learning obedience at home, that has all sorts of implications for how you live your life in other areas outside the home. But that's not the reason he gives. He doesn't even say, boys and girls, obey your parents so that you get less punishment. Young ones, Paul doesn't want you to be motivated to obey your parents because of any earthly thing. He wants you to be thinking about heaven and the one who's in heaven, your advocate, your savior, your Lord. He wants you to be thinking about pleasing him even when you're obeying your parents. He wants you to be motivated by the gospel, motivated by what Jesus has done for you. Obeying your parents is a way of saying thank you to God for Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, for justification, for adoption, for eternal life, for these things he offers to you, for the church and her blessing upon your life. This is what God wants for you. Remember what Jesus has done for you. We've said it before. He came as a baby. He came as a zygote, right? A fetus. He came to be born as the littlest child among us and then to grow up naturally. He didn't come as a full-grown man. Why? Well, there's probably a lot of good reasons. But one reason is this. He knew that you children and we when we were children blew it. We sinned. You children fail to obey. You obey sometimes, but not from the heart or with grumbling under your breath. The Lord knows that if you're going to make it to heaven, you need righteousness, his perfect obedience. You need that to replace your disobedience. And that includes the sins you commit as children. And so he lived a perfect childhood so you could have his perfect obedience replacing your disobedience. He lived for you. Think about how intense that life was, being God in the body of a child, having to obey these sinful parents who don't know as much as you know. He did it for you. And then at the end of his life, he got up on this cross of his own free will. Yes, he was killed by others, but he chose to go there. And he suffered not just for the sins of adults, not just for the big sins that Hitler committed, those kinds of sins. He suffered for the kinds of sins that you commit in your home, for talking back to your parents. He died on the cross for that, so that you wouldn't have to punish God, you wouldn't have to suffer God's punishment. He's done this for you, children. That's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. And I want you to understand this. Jesus asks you to respond in a lot of ways, worshiping him, all sorts of things, right? But he wants you to respond to what he's done for you by obeying your parents. That's how he wants you to say thank you to him. One more thing, boys and girls. When he gives you his Holy Spirit, what you receive in Jesus Christ is the power and the ability to live like Jesus lived. You receive many things in Jesus, your forgiveness of sins, eternal life, the church, but also you receive an ability to live like Jesus. So his ability to obey his parents can be yours. You can grow in obedience because he gives you his power and his grace through his Spirit. And that's really good news. He's not just putting an expectation upon you. He's helping you get there. This is why you should obey your parents. Always think of Jesus, boys and girls. Don't think, well, I don't want to obey my dad because he was mean yesterday. It's not about your dad. It's about Jesus. Can you say anything bad about him? I don't think so. I don't want to obey my mom because she didn't give me that thing I was hoping for and she forgot about it. That's not a good excuse to not obey your parents, because it's not about them anyway. This is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let it always be about that. Don't let the devil tempt you to disobey your parents because they're sinners. Guess what? Every one of us parents is sinners. Can I get a raise of hands, parents? Anyone want to confess their sin? Yeah? We're all sinners. Our imperfection is not an excuse for your disobedience. Now, we need to work on things, and parents are going to be addressed in a minute. But boys and girls, you've got a great reason to obey your parents, and it's found in Jesus Christ, not in your parents, not in any blessing you would receive in this life. And I hope that really helps straighten the path for you. I want to turn to address the parents here, even before we get to Paul says about fathers here, and say this. Listen, parents, this also means that your children's obedience to you isn't primarily or finally about you. It's not about your little kingdom and your home. It's not about your reputation. It's about Jesus' kingdom. It's about the church of Jesus Christ. It's about the reputation of Jesus before the world. Your children's obedience to you isn't just about your pleasure. Though it's not wrong for you to be pleased at your children's obedience. Don't mistake what I'm saying. It's about Jesus' pleasure. It's about something greater than that. You should be seeking the pleasure of Jesus in your parenting by securing your children's obedience to you. That's the ultimate reason why he commands your children to obey you. So don't make this about you, parenting. It's not about you. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you've said it. I can't believe you just did the exact opposite of what I just told you to do. After all I've done for you, and this is how you go and treat me? Maybe it hasn't come off your lips, but it's been in your heart. Here we are, making parenting about us. It's not about us. Let's not encourage our children to think that it's about us by giving them all sorts of reasons to obey that have to do with us. Obey me because I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Those are all true. We have given our children so many things. But we have a better message for them, a message that they can't defeat through our sin, by saying, well, but you haven't really been perfect, Mom and Dad. Well, that's true. You should be obeying because Jesus calls you to, and he has done wonderfully for you. This is the way we speak to our children. You should obey for the pleasure of the Lord above all things. Now, Paul turns his attention to fathers here, and it is interesting to note, of course, that he says fathers. Notice in the first verse, verse 20, he says, children, obey your parents in everything. Now, that's a particular word that refers to the husband and wife together. Then when he moves to verse 21, he says fathers, which is a different word that means just the male heads of household, the daddies. I think it's interesting to note that. Why fathers and not parents again here? I mean, it's clear that Paul wants children, the Holy Spirit through Paul wants children to see their obligation to honor not just their dad, but their father and their mother, right? Exodus 20, honor your father and your mother. Proverbs 1, verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. When the scriptures speak to our children, they tell them to think about the authority structure of mom and dad and submit to both. But interestingly enough, both in this passage and in Ephesians, when it comes to the word of correction, when it comes to the word of guidance for parents, when parents have to listen up, he actually says fathers. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then when he talks to the adults in the room, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, there's a couple possible reasons for this. It could be, and we could rightly say, the particular issue he's addressing, provoking our children to anger, is a daddy kind of issue. We might make that generalization. I don't think it's absolutely true. But we could also say, as we learned from last week, as Paul addressed husbands and wives, that fathers have the primary authority in the home, period. The God-given responsibility to structure what takes place in their homes. And Clearly, the apostle, clearly the Spirit assumes that fathers are going to be sharing the authority of parenting with their wives. That's why he tells children to honor both. But the buck stops with daddy in some sense. And what I want you to hear, fathers, this morning is although your wives, the mother of your children, may be in the ordinary, typical household, the one who spends more time with the kids and is more directly engaged with the children, that doesn't mean you're not responsible for what happens. The Lord's going to call you to account for how things happen in your home. You need to be interested in what's happening in parenting in your home and tending to these things. I'm not suggesting that every father needs to micromanage the home. That's not my point whatsoever. But you need to bear responsibility for these things. You need to pray for your wife as she raises your children. You need to be participating with her, helping her, being engaged in that. In fact, you might say she is helping you, right? That's the way God made us. You bear responsibility here. But that's going to look different in each home, how that works out. And it's not my intention to nail all those things down for you this morning. Just to say, the Lord wants fathers to listen up when parenting is being discussed. Now, what does the Lord have to say to you, fathers? He says, do not provoke your children. He didn't say don't poke your children. That's still permissible. He said, do not provoke your children. Poking could be provoking, by the way. Anyway, forgive me. What does this mean? This could mean a lot of things. When we look at the original Greek language here, do not provoke your children. The word is really getting at this idea, the idea of picking a fight, of causing someone else to react to you in a way that they're receiving a challenge, arousing someone to oppose you. When we provoke others, we foster a me versus you competitive and oppositional relationship with them. And this is typically done by irritating our children, insulting our children, excessively challenging them, making it difficult for them to please us. Don't do it. This same word is used in the Old Testament, the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. It's used in Daniel 11:10 when the prophet speaks about some military leader and he says, his sons shall wage war. That's the word, waging war. In Proverbs 19:7, in that Greek version of the Old Testament, it speaks of quarreling, someone who quarrels with words. It's the same word. So we're not to provoke our children, we're not to pick a fight, we're not to wage war with them, we're not to quarrel with them, we're not to start an argument with them. That doesn't mean we don't defend our discipline and leading in the home. That's not my point. But we are not to create a me versus you. Our children might create a me versus you by disobedience, and we need to defend our right to lead them, of course. But the question I have is, do parents really do this? I mean, do fathers do this? Do they pick fights with their children? Well, often unintentionally, but even sometimes this is our intentional mode of parenting, dads. Sometimes we fathers get it in our heads that it's going to be helpful for our children if we intentionally are overly critical of them, as if that's the best way to help them succeed and make improvements. Some fathers think the best way of parenting and helping their children grow up is by acting like a military drill sergeant. Maybe you had a dad like that. Never praising, always critiquing, always raising the bar of expectations so they never feel like they quite meet them. Never settling for less, never rewarding anything but perfect obedience or performance, and even then, not overdoing the praise. I mean, come on. Sometimes fathers can intentionally take this approach to their children, and the Lord has something simple to say if that's been your modus operandi. Stop it. Don't do that with your children. You have to ask yourself the question, dads. Does your Heavenly Father help you grow through perpetual fault-finding in your life? Is that how he fosters your growth and maturity? Is your experience of God that his mode of communicating with you is to rain criticism down upon you relentlessly? Maybe that's how your earthly father raised you, and if so, honestly, I'm sorry. He failed to represent the fatherhood of God to you, if that's the case. That's not the way your Heavenly Father cares for you. He offers you peace and love that you haven't earned. That should be represented in your parenting of your children. He is tender toward you. He gives you what you don't deserve in His grace. In His mercy, He withholds punishments that you might rightly deserve. Today, it is His pleasure to assure you, dads, that you belong in His household, warts and all. Dads, even though you have fallen short of His glory in your sin, and even though the best of your good works were only done in the power of God's Spirit and still need to be perfected by the mediation of Christ, yet your Heavenly Father looks forward to the day when He will say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, my son, well done." He looks forward to the day when He can praise you, even though in some ultimate sense, you still haven't personally met the bar, only through the help of Jesus Christ, right? He tells us about this in His word, right? So that we would long for that day too. Our hearts, when we hear that, we go, "Oh, I want that day. I want to hear my Heavenly Father tell me, 'Well done.'" The Lord wants that to be mirrored in your parenting of your children today. He wants them to hear those kinds of words from you, fathers. If you've intentionally taken an overly critical approach to your children, men and women, fathers and husbands, think long and hard about these things, about the way God has raised you, so to speak. And it will give you many things to repent of. And that will be good. But this can even be our unintentional mode of operation. We can just be provoking our children, even though we don't think that's the best way of parenting. It's not our intentional mode of parenting. We can all be distracted, right? We can all be irritable. We can be grouchy. We can be mentally and emotionally absent, even though we're physically present at times. We may not have thought long and hard enough about the rules we're enforcing at home and whether or not they're age appropriate for our children. Or maybe we're just asking too much of a particular child in a circumstance. And as often as we discipline our children out of personal irritation and anger and not of love for our children, we're provoking them and sinning against the command of God here. And so we all have room to repent for these things, provoking our children. What is the problem of provoking our children? It leads to what? What does Paul say? Lest they become discouraged. We don't want our children to be disheartened. Discouraged about what? About obeying. I can't please my dad. I'm not even going to try. That's what Paul doesn't want in our homes. Hear what he says to our children. He wants our children. Listen to verse 20 again, fathers. Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. God wants your children to be encouraged to obey, expecting that that will please God. And He wants you to mirror that in your fathering. He wants your children to know that they have the ability to please you, fathers, through their obedience to you. We make it very difficult for our children if they never can please their dads. It makes it very difficult for them to believe that they have the ability to please the Almighty God. And the Lord wants to give our children hope for these things that we model in our fatherhood. Essentially, the reason why Paul says what he says to dads here is because he wants to ensure children's obedience to their parents to please the Lord. And one major thing that can interrupt and disrupt our children's obedience to the Lord for Jesus' sake is when we model a very different kind of parenting, when we demonstrate that we're impossible to please. We make it too difficult for our children. If they can't experience it in this life, it's hard to translate it in faith. Now, the Spirit can work. Children are obligated to honor us, even if we're making it difficult for them. The Scripture doesn't say, hey, if your parents are provoking you to anger, this command to obey your parents goes out the window. No, that's not at all the point. Children have their duty. Parents have their duty. Fathers have their duty. But our goal, dads, fathers, is to make it easy on our kids to do what God requires of them, to not make it more difficult than it needs to be. And this brings Jesus Christ at the center of it, right? We want to model the fatherhood of God because we know how well he's cared for us. We want to make it easy for our children to obey God and to seek his pleasure. We don't want to foster a me versus you relationship with our children. We want them to know that we're with them, we're for them, we're on their side, we're going to help them, we're going to tell them what to do, and we're ready to say, right after the command comes out, if you can't figure out, let me know, I'm right here, I'll help you. Let me do it with you. The Lord wants to see unity in our homes, not competition. The Lord wants to see something of the relationship that he had with his eternal Father represented in our homes. Loving cooperation, mutual cooperation, team, we are one, we're together. That's what the Lord desires for his people. It's what we desire from God, and it's what we should offer our children on a human level. So a couple of brief points of application to guide fathers in these things, and I'll just have to hit the titles here. But fathers, the first one, be like Jesus Christ. The more you're like Jesus, we've already said this so much, the more it's easier for your children to make the parallel between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're supposed to live before God, but if they see the character of God in you, that helps them make that transition better in their hearts. Now, there's good news, because you are not like Jesus Christ as you should be, nor am I as a father. And the Lord has given us a great help to this, and that's the second point. Repent when you fail. Repent before your children for your failures in parenting. Repent before your children for the sins they see you commit, even if they're not sins of parenting, sins you commit against their mother or their siblings. Repent. Help your children be able to say, my dad's not perfect, even he says so, but I still owe him obedience because this is about Jesus, not him. You want your children to be able to think those mature thoughts. And when you repent, you aid them greatly. When you confess your sins and seek their forgiveness, you aid them greatly on that journey. It's not going to compromise your authority. If you think you have to hide, you can't confess your parenting sins to your kids, otherwise it's going to compromise your authority, then you're imagining that your authority ends with you, and it doesn't. It ends with Jesus Christ. Demonstrate the greater authority of Jesus Christ in your home by bowing your knee before him in the confession of your sin to your children. That will actually support the proper authority that God has given you in your home, an authority that is only under Jesus. And that will also help them see that this is all about your Lord and Savior, not you. So live like Jesus so that your children can obey better. Repent when you fail. Talk much about Jesus in your home. That's the third thing. It shouldn't be an odd thing in discipline for you to say, this is about Jesus, this obedience is about Jesus. Everything should be about Jesus. It shouldn't be just this. It shouldn't be special pleading that all of life is really about any other thing, but here where it really counts, where you obey me, now we're going to bring Jesus into the picture. Don't let it be hypocritical or come off that way. Speak about Jesus every day with your children. Help them see his glory and his goodness and why he's worthy of being served. And let this command to obey you just be a small part of the whole package. That's what it is. It's not the main point of the letter Paul wrote, right? Speak about Jesus frequently in your home so that this is just a small part of the bigger picture of discipling them. And lastly, discipline your children for Jesus' sake. You need to lead them. You need to correct them. You need to command them. You do need to discipline them. And parents need to think about how they're going to do that. But the reason why you choose to discipline your children, to inflict temporary acute pain, to remove privileges, however it looks in your home, age appropriate, don't do it because you're personally irritated. Don't do it because they make you look bad. Do it because you're concerned about their relationship with Jesus and how their relationship with you reflects their relationship with Jesus. Make it about him. And seek to establish rules that reflect his kingdom. There is so much help and hope for us here, brothers and sisters. And I really hope that the main effect of what we've considered here in this passage is that we get to see Jesus in more of our lives. How he is the center of everything. And that should be a great source of hope for all of us. And let us all be praying for one another. Children, pray for your parents. Pray for your fathers along these lines. Parents, pray for your children. And may the Lord be pleased to answer our prayers. Let's turn to him now. Father, we thank you that you lead and guide us, that you have words of instruction for every one of us, old and young. We thank you, Father, that you consider us in our need and you meet those needs well. We thank you, Father God, that you have been a perfect father to us, so that even those children who have abusive parents in this world can come to a knowledge of Christ and enjoy a perfect relationship with a father in you. Thank you, Father God, that Jesus Christ has obeyed in our place and has died for our sins so that we have hope in all of our repentance, that we are still received by you and loved by you. Oh, and may your grace extend to us today. Help us, Lord, to walk in these ways for your glory. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we also pray your blessing on the offering that we take now. We give it to you as an act of worship, giving you back what you've given to us, and pray that you would be pleased to use these monies, these simple earthly gifts we give to you, to expand your kingdom in this city and in the world. Amen.